This is the Weekly Scramble, a place where we chat about life over a cold one or two. It's time to belly up to the pod with Mike Fratelloni and your host, Chris Reavers.
That's right. It's time for the Weekly Scramble. My name is Chris Reavers. By my side, his name is Mike Fratelloni with Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores. Hello, Michael.
How you doing, Reavers?
So I need to ask you a question, and it doesn't necessarily stem from anything, but I'm always genuinely curious. As a guy that's in charge of retail, and this is a very, very, very busy time of the year for you,
yes,
just all things considered, gift giving, snow removal, whatever, do you see an actual starting date from when the business starts to boom? Is it post-Thanksgiving? Is it like, when is that time?
You know, it's a little different in the hardware business. It's, you know, we're not a big Black Friday. You know, we have a big bump up on Black Friday,
sure,
right?
Sure, just like everybody else.
Yeah, but it's not like the Targets of the world or the Walmarts of the world, because we're more purpose-driven, not just general crap.
Okay.
Right? I mean, we have general crap, too. but you know, when people come in to get stuff for a project that they have. But lately, we've just been busy. Let me tell you one thing. So Christmas trees, a bunch of our Christmas tree vendors just went out of business this last year.
Oh, that's right. You were telling me this off the air.
And so we have only 5 stores that have Christmas tree lots now.
Out of your 21 stores?
Yeah, but normally we didn't have them all have, like maybe about 12 had Christmas tree lots,
okay.
Right?
Not everyone had them. I just assumed all of them did.
So we cut it down to roughly in half. And people are buying Christmas trees like crazy.
Wow.
It is unbelievable. I was like, oh my goodness, we're going to be out of Christmas trees. Note to everybody out there, I think because there's so few lots out there, you know, just because so many places went out of business, go ahead and get your Christmas tree very early. Otherwise, it's going to be slim pickings in about 10 days.
So we actually purchased ours. What day was that? It was that nice, warm Saturday.
Okay.
It would have been the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
The Saturday before Thanksgiving, I think.
No, this was post-Thanksgiving.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Because We went to her parents on actual Thanksgiving, and then we came home Friday after, like, late afternoon, and then she said, hey, I want to go get the tree tomorrow. I remember it was really nice out that day. It was in the 40s
or
50s.
Did you buy a live tree?
So we go to this place, and it's just kind of a tradition thing.
Okay.
So every year, there's this place. We used to live in Chanhassen, and there's this place called the Mustard Seed. Neat place. It's got if you have, here, fellas, gather around. Uncle Reavers is going to give you a little bit of advice. If you want to get your wife something kind of cool, get her a gift card from the Mustard Seed or Fratelloni's.
Sure.
But the Mustard Seed, and let her go nuts. It's a cool store full of crap that chicks dig.
So why am I envisioning, like, she's got one of those little hats on with the pom-poms, maybe a vest, she's got boots on and a scarf, and she's carrying a mug of either cocoa or apple cider.
Screwball whiskey.
Yeah, but it's just apple cider, and you're just like throwing a super soft snowball at her, and she's laughing at you, and then you tackle her into
the
snow.
Or that GMC commercial where I got you something, and he hands her the puppy,
yes,
and then she hands him the keys to the new Chevy pickup.
Isn't that the best?
So
so pissed if my wife bought me a car.
Wouldn't you? 100%.
I'd be like, that's
it's
not
why
the color
commercial
I wanted.
Makes me angry.
Yeah, it's not the color I want.
Hey,
I didn't want those
I
seats.
I know I bought you a vehicle, but I brought you out to the middle of the freaking woods to give it to you.
I'm just so, it would be a nice thing to win, but if she spent money on it, I'd be so mad.
So here's why I like this store and why most of stuff like this, oh my God, I'm all along till we're all. I actually enjoy this for a couple of reasons, because she's all in. Like, she loves the decorating the house. She loves the tree. She loves all of that. So I'm cool helping to facilitate said purchase, right?
Nice.
But here's why this place is neat. So, and those that know the area know exactly what I'm talking about. It's right off of Highway 100, just north of Shakopee, at the what would that be? The southwestern tip of Chanhassen. Mm-hmm. And it's a neat spot, and the tree lot is pretty big, but they have all sorts of different kinds of trees. And so basically, what my job is to occupy the boys so she can
pick out the
roam
tree.
And say, nope. Nope. Ooh, I like the smell of that one. Oh, I don't like the look of that one. And I just let her do her thing, right? Mm. You just tell me, I'll grab the tag and go pay for it. Like, that's my job.
Yeah.
Right?
There you go. Yeah.
And so this place is neat. Well, anyway, so we go there every year and make the purchase. And then, of course, what happens? They tie it to the roof of your car. It's nice. Fantastic. And so then, of course, what do I do every single year? boys, want to see something cool? What? And then I open up the sunroof, and then the tree falls into the car.
Nice.
And then I get yelled at, and then I shut the sunroof again.
Because you get all that crap right in the sunroof.
Right inside the
car. So what's the right price for you? What's the...
That's where I was going.
Okay, let's see. I want to hear this.
So I was... And I again, this just in, mm-hmm. the price of everything
is a little bit more
is double than it was a year ago. Mm-hmm. I could not believe what they were charging for trees. And again... Sure. It's not them because I know
cost went up.
Other places are also charging this, but they had one tree, and it was a good size. It would not have fit, and now our new living room is bigger, but this one would not have fit in our living room.
Okay,
this,
it's a big tree.
This sucker was 13 feet tall.
Okay.
I mean, it was a big tree.
So it's a special tree.
And it was $600.
$600.
Yes.
Okay.
And I thought, and it was a... So beautiful
how
tree.
How much was a standard tree?
So the one we purchased was was it 109? $109, I think.
So here, let me give you
a year ago, it would have probably been $79.
Okay. So
which I thought, okay, whatever.
Years ago, the most expensive tree at Fratelloni's was $39.97.
You are kidding me.
No, we had trees up to 12 feet.
Okay, we have a new tradition in our family now.
So and I get, like, we are a... We can't have many open because it's a small lot, so we have some open, and then people are kind of just looking at the height of the tree saying, I'll risk it, right? Because they're still wrapped up in some cases.
Sure.
But today, our most expensive tree on the lot, don't quote me on this, I should know it, is $79.99, right? No matter what. Okay. And then there's trees down to $40, right? Because it goes all the way down from there, depending on if it's a Scotch pine, a Fraser fir, a balsam fir, and so on. So my wife and I go to our store at 650 Grand Avenue, who has a really small little tree lot, right? So it's right out in front of the store. It's a small tree lot. And she's looking and looking. I said, honey, that tall one there, let's get that one. It's all wrapped up. She goes, well, we don't know. Should we open it? I'm like, you can't open it. It takes hours for it to fall down out in the cold. And then so I start loading that one, and then she goes in and pays, right? Because I don't own the company anymore. I got to pay for everything, right? Which is fine because that's what I did before, but it felt weird, right? She had to go in and pay, and I'm loading it up. And she's like, yeah, I bought two trees. And I said, oh, why? what are we doing? She goes, oh, we're going to put up two trees this year.
Oh, that's nice of
and
you.
And I just thought, huh. And I had tried to. We had these little projector things that you set on the floor and it shoots a Christmas tree up onto the wall.
Oh, cool.
Right? And we had them on closeout and still do for like $3.90, normally $30.
Wow.
Right? We had a bunch of them. We have them on deep, deep, deep closeout.
Okay.
And I said to her, I'm like, I don't even know, kind of jokingly, I said, I don't even know if we really need a tree this year because we had this projector thing, right? We could just project it onto the wall. That was my mistake. So because I tried to skip out on the tree altogether, she got two trees.
Oh.
And then she decorated them last night because what I do is I put them up, right? Mm-hmm. And then she does all the rest.
Yep.
They look fantastic. I mean, our trees are off the charts beautiful.
Now, may I ask a question?
Sure.
You have three girls. There's no chance in hell you were serious about not doing a tree this year.
Yeah, no, I was. I was 100%. My kids don't care.
Really?
Well, maybe they do. Let me restate this. I don't care if my kids care. Well, hey, I heard you talking about Santa Claus and not wanting to spoil Santa.
Yeah.
And you are under the impression that your 11-year-old is still unsure of Santa?
No. Okay, how do I phrase this? My 11-year-old is really sharp.
Sure.
He's a really sharp kid. And he also has a really good memory about, so I'm morning guy, right? So okay. I take the boys to school every morning. And it can be anything from, oh, who won the football game last night? To, hey, Dad, do you remember 638 days ago when you said, and I go, Jesus, remember that?
He gets that from his mom probably, right?
So I got to be careful because he is literally a sponge. He remembers everything, okay. which is really good.
Smart,
and will help him in the long term. But there will be his one thing is he is so bad at lying.
Oh, okay.
I can
Which
tell.
Which is a good thing.
I can tell right away when I know and he doesn't intentionally try to lie. It's just, you can just tell.
Yeah.
And so I remember we were talking, this was a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about whatever. And then I had said, and then he goes, yeah, well, maybe, Santa will just bring it. And I went, okay. But I know he's also smart enough to say, well, I'm not going to reveal that I know because I'm not giving up the goods. Are you kidding me?
He understands causality. If he says he doesn't believe in Santa, Santa doesn't come for him anymore.
God, that's brilliant. Yeah. So anyway, that was my point on yesterday's Garage Logic podcast.
Because you don't want him at 11-year-old is in what? Fifth grade.
Fifth grade, yep.
You don't want him turning to his buddy Steve and saying, well, what do you get from Santa? And have Steve say, moron, there is no, you still believe in Santa? And have him go, well, my dad said he's real.
Yeah. So, well, and again, it's just fun because his little brother, the 8-year-old, basically spends his life doing two things. Doing everything that his older brother does and then also tormenting his older brother at the same time.
Okay.
That's that he wakes up with one objective.
And that's a nice move.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so so he's also smart enough to say, hey, can't give up the goods. Plus, I believe I shared this on the on GL yesterday. It's going to have a much more devastating effect on my wife than it is on my kids. Mm-hmm. Not even close.
When they stop believing.
Right. And in fact, if it gets to that point, I'm just going to have to pull them aside and say, hey, boys, I know you're in your 20s, but we're still going to go with this year because it will cripple your mother if she...
still get gifts from Santa from my parents. I mean, I assume my parents are the ones buying it. I am too selfish of a person.
Okay.
Because I one time bought my oldest daughter, who at the time was like 5, a really, really sweet gift, and I wrote Santa on there.
Aww.
And she turned and she's like, oh my God, Santa got me this gift. And she goes, if only you would have gotten me something like this. And I said, that's it. So now Santa gets them the socks and underwear and the makeup case, and Dad gets them the cool shoes and the skateboard or whatever they want. Because I'm not going to let Santa take all the fun.
Oh.
Right? I'm not going to let that random dude who's may or may not be real get the credit for it. I want to get the credit for it.
So we touched on, a lot of subjects last week, but I wanted to read this email from Paul because you brought up something that I was completely unfamiliar with, and Paul and a number of others weighed in, including the entire cast of Garage Logic. I believe it was when we were not recording the show. Hey, Reeves, I was listening to the weekly Scramble and you and Mike's airport stories. Back in the 80s, when I was first out of college, I lived in San Diego. You lucky bastard. At the beginning of the runway, at the east end, there is / was a parking garage. I'm very familiar with that part of the San Diego airport. It was rumored that it was built too tall and that because of that, cars were not allowed on the very top floor. Also, that there were tire marks from airplanes on the top floor. Anyway, one time flying in for a visit after I'd moved to Minnesota, my wife hates a takeoff and landing. So I'm watching out the window, counting down until we touch down. While she squeezes all the blood out of my hand, I count down to 0 and start counting back up. We go past the first terminals at the east end that they used to be Continental Airlines, yet we still haven't touched down. Then the power comes back, and we go back up in the air. Somehow my hand is not crushed. The pilot came on and gave some excuse about unexpected traffic on the tarmac, which was B as in B, S as in S. He went in for a landing and missed the ground. The runway is pretty short, so they had to get on the ground early, and he didn't do it. Loving the show, Paul in Buffalo.
Yeah, that is you remember landing in San Diego? I remember that parking lot exactly.
I know exactly which one he's talking about.
Yeah, you're going right through downtown, which is weird because this is, around 9/11, remember? You'd fly and you'd say, well, this seems like we're getting too close to buildings.
Right.
Like, this has to be freaking people out.
Right.
Because you're hundreds of yards off of buildings there. And what looks like hundreds of yards off this parking ramp. It does not look very far off from the base.
Well, the worst one is not O'Hare. What's the other one? Midway. In Chicago. Yeah. You land in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
You are literally landing in.
Yeah, but you're not landing in by big buildings. You're
that's
downtown.
True. No, that's a good point.
You're flying through downtown San Diego. You're like, what is going on? This seems not.
We're about to run over another homeless guy.
Yeah. It's a good way to get rid of the drug problem.
Oh, could you imagine? You're just out of college and you're living in San Diego.
No, I like Coronado. San Diego, I like, but Coronado's the place to be.
You know what, though? I disagree.
Really?
Well, Coronado feels like you're so isolated.
Yeah. Like no crime.
No
bums.
I will say that.
No drugs.
I think I've shared this with you. We did San Diego 3 or 4 straight years with our kids, just because she and I love that city. Well, it's kind of, last year was probably the last time, or the last time is probably the very last time we'll take our kids out there, because it was just, Well, California in general is just turning into an asshole. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we had made the drive to Corinth because for Mother's Day, she got a night at what's the big famous, the Coronado Inn? What's the big?
Coronado, yeah. Hotel Coronado.
Hotel Coronado, yeah. Thank you. So for Mother's Day, she got one night there by herself, massage, the whole nice. The whole bit. Like that was her gift, yeah. Right, from me and the boys. And so we make the drive on the bridge, and I'm gripping that damn steering wheel. I'm in the left.
Me?
Oh, it was giving me. I still get the elevator stomach thinking about
Reavers.
It. I know.
You're a 6'4" tough guy.
I know.
I don't get you. Could have. Were you ever a bouncer at a bar?
No, well, for one shift, and I lasted 45 minutes okay. And said, I'm not doing this.
Okay, you just seem like you could be a bouncer. You're a bouncer's eyes.
Okay,
like, no
I'm
one's going to really
not
mess
a fighter,
with you.
Though.
Yeah, but no one's going to, they don't know that.
Sure.
No one's going to mess
okay.
with you. So when you talk about being scared driving over a bridge, you have to hand me your man card, because that doesn't make sense.
It's not even bridge driving, it's that bridge.
What do you think's going to happen?
The thing's going to cave in, and I'm going to go plummeting into the water.
It's not going to.
Well,
ever.
Oddly enough, we were talking about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. We were doing bridge talk because I don't know why it came up, but Kenny had mentioned the Mackinac Bridge in Michigan.
Okay.
Because I think he was looking at a snowmobile, or maybe Joe was looking at a car. I don't remember. But I didn't tell this part. So years ago, when I was leaving, one of the times I had driven out to watch the Bills game. Oh, I know what year it was. It was the year that the Gophers were playing, the first time they played in Detroit for their bowl game.
The Radio City, no, not Radio City Bowl. What's
the Detroit? Quick Lane Bowl.
Quick Lane Bowl, because you worked that one.
This is the one I worked, because I got a text from our buddy Mike Grimm saying, hey, are you still planning on coming? And I was only going to go just because it was going to make Royce angry. That's the only reason, truly, because I thought, well, I'm driving back anyway. Why not just stop by, take a selfie, and just tweet it out to get Pat going?
So you got to be a spotter instead.
It was great. Yeah. It was so much fun. Well, anyway, driving, when you drive through Niagara Falls into Canada, the, what do you call it, to get in there, not customs, but
sure. Is that what it's called? Border
enforcement. And, yeah, border patrol. Yeah. You sit in line, and this was a Monday morning. It was either a Monday or Tuesday morning. I can't remember. But you sit in line on this bridge, and the wind is, and you can feel it swaying.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I need to get off this bridge right now, or
really?
I'm going to lose it. And I just kept, I was doing this.
Too funny.
Yeah. So,
but
that was a pretty drive, though. So you do that drive through Canada, really pretty drive.
I will look forward to trying that someday. I don't know if I will, but I did see this video online where about a 10-year-old boy, maybe a 12-year-old boy, was working as a spotter for a high school football game or maybe a college football game.
All right.
Right? And he's got
the binoculars.
Binoculars out, and he's saying, number two to third, tackled by 37. He's doing it like perfect, right?
Cool.
And I think that's what a spotter does, right?
Yes.
You kind of just narrow in, you get the number. So the guy saying, number two, Johnson, got tackled by 37.
And if you're working for a really good play-by-play guy, which Mike Grimm is, he has a science to it. He just says, point to my sheet.
Yeah, okay.
And it's amazing how good he is at his job.
How
anyway,
smooth
continue.
That is. Okay,
yeah,
so
just smooth.
It's in the background, someone yells JC. They use the old JC
sure,
word, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying not to say that because I'm trying to make my girls not say that because they go to Catholic school, and you probably shouldn't scream that at Catholic
probably
school.
Probably not.
Right?
That's not a good idea.
So, after the play ends, the guy who's the play-by-play says, did you just say what I thought you said? I said, well, what do you think I said? He said, when that person yelled, JC, did you say, is my Lord and Savior? And sure enough, some random person yells, Jesus Christ. And the kid said, is my Lord and Savior? That was his response. The kid was the smoothest 12-year-old kid I've ever seen in my life.
That's outstanding.
The color commentary guy or the play-by-play guy just started laughing like, you are one smooth kid. It was really, really funny.
And I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, we'll see all of these viral things of, for instance, what's coming to mind right now is the great play that we saw in the Prep Bowl where the kid lateraled it to the other kid. It was all over Sports Center.
Didn't even see it.
It was not Glencoe, Silver Lake. It was the other place. Up
12 man? Or,
No. Yes, it's 12 man. New London Spicer.
Okay.
Thank you. New London Spicer beat the other team they were playing. And it was to end the game.
Okay.
And so the kid catches it, realizes he's going to be tackled. The game's over. They're going to lose the championship.
Yep.
He flips it to his teammate, who then catches it and runs it in for a touchdown, and they win the game. So it was really cool. I forget where I was going with that. But then you just see the worst in humanity.
Yeah, so you're seeing these beautiful, nice things.
Right? Yeah, so that's cool. I'm glad that it gives me hope.
You know what would be so great? Just think going to high school the next day after you just won the state championship on a lateral that is a 1% chance play.
So it's funny you say that. I was watching Fox 9 this morning, and one of their hits was they were interviewing a bunch of these kids, and it was so dude bro, right? Because it was, the two of the guys on the team stand there, and, oh, it's been really cool. All the teachers have been coming up, giving us congratulations, and then they pan to this other guy who's got his, I think they're the Wildcats, Wildcat football shirt on.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, it's been pretty cool. thinking, you stud. Like, that's just awesome. But the one kid had a great line. He said, it really makes you feel great about being a part of small town football. And I thought, damn it, I love that.
It's a little American.
And that's so cool that he kept that in the back of his mind. That was pretty cool.
What's the best part is if they don't just peak in high school. Because I am going to tell
you. Glory days, like, Bruce Springsteen, till he's 45?
Nothing cool happened to me in high school. So I had no choice but to peak outside of high school, right? I had to peak, well, not much after high school I probably peaked, but I had to peak because I didn't do anything in high school. I think I peaked in sixth grade. That's when I became sixth grade class president. And I remember that, like, I was in the boys' locker room, and they announced the thing, and I was running against Dave Kobe, and I may have told you the story, and Dave Kobe was, like, the valedictorian of sixth grade, obviously the smartest kid.
Sure.
And we had to do a couple speeches, and he gave the speech about how we were using these foam lunch trays, and how that's not good, and they go right into the thing.
Bad for the environment.
Really bad for the environment. I gave a speech that, I don't know if I can get this to happen, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try to have a McDonald's installed in the school to serve as McDonald's.
You did not.
I did. Complete fabricated BS, right?
What? Nothing like a politician wouldn't try to pull now.
I mean, I said I was going to try. I didn't say I was going to do it.
Yep.
And then my teacher, Betty Granger, rest her soul. I'm sure she has to be dead by now. If she's not, correct me. But she said, as we were getting ready to vote, remember, folks, this is not a popularity contest. This is who do you think will do the best job?
Not and what I was like, blindly promised to you.
Yeah, she's like, wait, hey, Tuts.
Out of here.
Yeah, you don't get to make a speech, then I get to make another speech. So she had done that. I still won. And I don't recall, and I do have a bad memory, but I don't recall one time doing anything for the student council. I don't remember going
to
one meeting.
You would have made a good politician.
I really think I should have been. I don't recall. And Dave would have been an excellent politician. He should have 100% won. He should have maybe followed me.
Did you get an office? Did you get a little office?
I don't recall literally going to one meeting. I don't ever remember doing one thing about it. So maybe it was just I'm sure they got together because there was a whole council.
I remember being a part of something similar to that in which it was a group setting and we had to talk about, and I lasted one meeting.
Oh, wow.
And I remember thinking, I don't want to be here. But you get to get out of class. I don't care. I don't want to do this.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah. I was in the sauna the other day with a guy at the gym.
Ah.
Right?
Okay.
And we were talking about the place that we were saunaing at and how great it is. And he started to talk to me a little bit about the politics. And I said, oh, time out. Like, I don't want to ever think about the politics here.
Yep.
I don't want to ever plan anything here. Right. I don't want to vote on anything here. I'm just a member here. And I made a comment like, those who do that stuff, I really question. And he says, well, I'm vice president.
That's me.
And I said, oh, well, I really question you.
Right.
Right? Because what are you doing? And then he went ahead and explained all of the, like, boards he was on of, like, this homeowners association thing and a different golf course. And I thought, what are you doing? Why would you go through all of that stress when I want to separate my work. My work is my work, right? That can be stressful. But then my golf and my sauning should be zero stress whatsoever.
Right.
Like zero.
This is supposed to be your escape.
It is. The club that I play at, they wanted to do a capital campaign to get a bunch of money to rebuild the whole club.
Sure.
Right? And people were screaming at each other about it because it was going to be a big dollar amount everyone had to put in. And they had voted, and they have a certain amount of members, and there was three members that didn't vote. And I was one of them, and I told my friend, he's like, why would you not vote? And I said, I don't care. I don't want to ever think about it. Someone else, because they were like, we need a new heating and cooling. I don't care. I don't care about your heating and cooling thing. I don't care if it's cold in here. Put one in, charge me. I don't care, right? And he was just incredulous that I wouldn't vote either way. And it happened to be almost a perfect 50-50 vote, actually. It was 51-49. And they decided it was so close that they can't do anything because they wanted like 80% of the members to say,
You should have said, well, it's up for the...
Yeah, I could have just held my vote. Yeah, yeah. Who really wants this?
So what you're saying is, let's say you were in charge of, I don't know, a budget for an entire state, and you forecasted that we were going to have $18 billion in surplus money over the next 2 years.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Why aren't people in Minnesota losing their friggin' minds? I don't get it. Why would we let these people take an extra $12 billion?
Of our money.
Our money. And then they do something dumb like, oh, we're going to give it back to you in Walls bucks for $300. $300 times $3 million does not equal $12 billion, folks.
Wait, so that math doesn't work out?
No, that doesn't work out.
Oh.
We should be taking up arms against our local government. Well, it is so weird.
You heard the show the day after the election. So
did I?
It would have been a Wednesday morning, obviously, November 9th, because I think the election day was November 8th.
Okay.
And I just kept playing the lady, the dictionary lady, saying despondent. I'm despondent because if you weren't convinced that what's been happening the last 2 years isn't enough to change your mind, we have such saps, mindless saps in this state wandering aimlessly thinking, well, this is great. Mm-hmm. Everything's just wonderful. Wake the freak up.
Yeah.
Are you that stupid?
Something's not right.
Well, but I do believe, though, that what has happened is politics has become such a polluted cesspool that people, and I'm not ripping her, I'm married to one that just says, I don't want to pay attention to this crap.
Same thing I don't want to do at my club. I don't want to pay attention.
And I don't blame her. Apathy. If I didn't have this job, I wouldn't pay nearly as close attention to politics as I do. But I still have a vested interest in what I pay every year. So I just think that there's just a general lack of concern because there's just a general lack of awareness.
People don't, and this is not to be rude, I don't think people understand what billions of dollars are, right? Because I think it's
just monopoly money.
It doesn't make any sense to us. But one thing that I think is truly repugnant is when our governor, and I don't know him, and I hate to, like, I don't say bad things about politicians if I've never met them, right? Mm-hmm. So, but when he says, oh, we're thinking of doing some middle income tax cuts, it's like, what do you mean thinking about it? You're overcharging us by $12 billion in a biennium, right? Every 2 years by $12 billion. That is too much you're taking. It's not tax cuts. It's just give us back the money that we paid.
That you overcharged us to begin with.
You know, go ahead and get the right amount in our taxes. It's to say, oh, I'm going to give it back to the middle class. It's like, what do you mean give it back? All you did is take it from them. All you did is took $12 billion too much. Mm-hmm. You should be embarrassed. If they were running any sort of company and you were that far off on your budgeting, you would be gone in a second. The problem is people don't know what $12 billion is.
Well, the other
problem
is,
it just doesn't make sense. And including me, $12 billion is a number I don't get.
The people that are making these decisions have no one to report to. Mm-hmm. They don't work for us.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're supposed to. But they don't work for us.
When you go back all the way down to that food fraud scam, right? Where that little town was saying they're paying 5,000 children a day.
Mm-hmm.
A day, or not paying, feeding 5,000 children a day in like Big Lake, Minnesota or wherever it was. And the guy was getting $7 million for it and making those numbers up. But the fat math of that was like, wait, there's only 1,700 kids in a 19-mile radius. So we're getting four times more than the amount of kids who live in this area to come here to eat every day? I don't think so.
Yeah. So I was trying to look for it, but and this is peanuts in comparison, but there was another company that filed bogus claims. I'm trying to find the story because I had it saved for Joe. I can't find it. But a Chinese company, a company from China, had also filed to receive COVID funds. I don't know if it was in this state or not, but I'm thinking.
And did they get them?
Of course.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And it wasn't $250 million. It was only $35 million, I believe.
Yeah, but let's say it was $3,500. No one said, wait.
Wait a minute. Hold
up. This company, this mailing check does not go to Roseville, Minnesota. It goes to Guanling, China. I'm thinking Guanlin might not be a real town, but it sounds right.
It's just, and that's again goes back to why I'm just saying, you know, I get why people just say, I don't want to waste a second of my free time. People are busy. People are working. They got kids. They've got volleyball practice. They've got family stuff that they got to worry about. So I get it. I really do. But there are people seizing upon that lack of general interest in the given field of politics.
So do you do what Kenny would suggest?
What's that?
You seize upon that. And you build, what did Kenny want to do? He wanted to start that gas tax. Didn't he want to like figure that out? He's like, that sounds like moneymaker, which I agree. It does sound like moneymaker.
I have to ask you a question. I got an email from Lee talking about last week's episode. Reavers, just listened to you and Mike do, so this will have been 2 weeks ago, when you did the show on Friday for the weekly scramble on my drive to work. Tell Fret that to market multiple slush busters to keep one in your vehicle so you can knock the stuff off when you get to work, and then you've got one for the garage. Tell Fret he should... I lost my place here. Anyway,
Can I talk about those?
Hold on 1 second.
Are we doing a slush buster ad?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Dave, the guy who owns slush busters,
yes.
He and I have become kind of close.
Oh, sweet.
He texts me a lot. Right?
Cool.
Which is sweet, right? Yeah. And he always wants to say, don't forget to mention that they're Christmas things. I'm like, I think people know that this is a perfect Christmas gift.
Joe stopped at your grand store.
Oh, did he?
Grand Avenue last Friday.
To get one?
To get one, yes.
So I'm going to tell you, it's a unique product. I didn't know if it was going to sell really well. I didn't know if it was going to sell. It is blowing out the doors.
You're kidding me.
So if you come to one of the Fratellonis and we're out, hang tight. The problem is Dave's almost out of them. His production run is almost out. So Reavers just gave himself a pat on the back. It is. So he delivered another 40 to my warehouse today, 10 to my St. Louis Park store, 10 to my Eden Prairie store, and 10 to my Burnsville store all
You're
today.
You're kidding me.
No, because I'm selling them so fast. And he's actually going in and setting up tables in the stores and meeting people. It's super great. And he just sells the heck out of them when he's there because people see what it is and they're like, I think I could use that.
I need that.
Yeah, so it's a slush buster, right? And it's basically like a stick with a plastic flag on it, like a shovel with a plastic flag that you can scrape under your wheel well and get way under there without damaging your paint, without damaging your wheels. And it's relatively ingenious because there is no good way to get that snow out of there besides this thing. And it's resonating really well with, I think, Garage Logic listeners
100%.
And shoppers at Fratellonis.
Here's how great the device has been. So go to 21 Fratellonis and is it Wellner?
Robbinsdale Ace.
Robbinsdale Ace Hardware. You can get it on Amazon, but don't do that. Go to the store. Go to Fratellonis and get it. Can I tell you that it's to the point now where the boys and I fight over who gets to do the slush busting in our family. As in, because now, and I mentioned this last week, but I'm going to mention it again. For the first time in my life, have a heated garage.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, anytime it dips below 40 degrees, I'm kidding. But when it gets, you know, I turn it on, and then I go, no, it's my turn. I get to do it.
You get to do
it. And then everything melts.
Yeah.
And then then when it melts, and then she leaves for work in the morning, then I squeegee it out.
Yep.
And then, because even this morning, I said, you can leave the garage door open. And she goes, oh, my God, again? I said, well, yeah, there's some snow. I got to get rid of it.
Okay.
She said, go back to bed. No, babe. No. It's time to slush bust.
Yes.
It's time to bust some slush, baby. Yep. And she said, why are you talking like that? And I said, well, because I'm excited.
Because it's sexy. Yeah.
But the boys and I literally fight over who gets to do it.
The emailer had a really good point, though.
Thank you, Lee, by the way. Thank you very much for listening to the show.
So let's get back to Lee's point briefly. Is you put it in your car. When you get to work, you do it. So you dump the stuff off at work in their parking lot because work has plows, right?
They're, sure.
Yeah, and you know, or do it in the garage. Let's say you work in downtown Minneapolis.
Do you have a heated garage?
Get in a heated garage and dump it in there and leave it there so you don't leave it in your garage at home. That is a good idea. A slush buster. What was it? Slushbuster.com. Don't we know that?
Slushbuster.us.
.us, as in the United States.
And here's why it's one of the things that I truly do love about this job, and I've mentioned this before, but it's connecting people with businesses and products. It's truly the best part of this job.
Yeah.
It really is. I've gotten to meet so many cool, interesting people, and Dave and his lovely wife are chief among them.
Yeah.
They're just rock star cool people.
He's sending me pictures of his Corvette and his motorcycle in his garage. He's got this. He's got this really good setup. But again, he wants us to mention Christmas gifts, and I think we do. But it is a perfect Christmas gift for the guy who is the garage logician who has everything.
100%. Yeah. And I had mentioned this earlier, you know, about getting a gift certificate for the, you know, for a wife, for a mother-in-law, or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you've got a father-in-law or a dad, either do the Slush Buster if you've already got one. Mm-hmm. Fratelloni gift card too.
Oh yeah, and right now there you buy you pay $50 for one, you get one for ten free ten.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh sweet.
So you can buy a bunch of those, so you can get $200 worth and then $40 free. That's a good deal, right?
And then use it in the spring and get yourself a nice grill.
You're going to use it. That's what, you know, so the new company bought us, right?
Yep.
And we have a bunch of new ideas, things we've never done before. And they said, let's do some gift cards. I said, oh, that sounds like a good idea. Let's do it. And I said, but you understand this. People are going to 100% use their Fratelloni's gift card. They live right next to Fratelloni's. This is
right,
where they go to shop.
Right. This is their store.
Yeah. And most people, when they do a gift card, they think, oh, it's a restaurant. Maybe someone won't use it, or they're going to use it 2 years from now or whatever. It's called breakage in the business, right?
Sure.
We don't have breakage.
No.
Because people are going to use the gift card.
I bought this. I'm using it.
In fact, we have gift cards on that. What's that GL auction thing that we're doing?
The Garage Logic 1,000th podcast auction.
Yeah, we're doing...
Which is really neat.
We're doing $5,000 worth of Fratelloni's gift cards.
Wow.
And when I talked to the guys, the power with Bernie and Dan Seaman and
the
stuff,
crew,
the guys
yes.
here, I said, people are going to use our cards. They're going to sell for exactly what they are
right.
because they know that I'm going to spend $500 there. I think there's some $500, $250, and $100 ones, right?
Right.
Anybody who's buying those is using all of it. So if you get that deal for less than full face value, what a deal. That's a pretty good system. I like that system when you guys do those.
Yeah, it's neat. And it's also a cool way to kind of bring everybody together to be involved in the same
All your
endeavor.
Advertisers
yeah.
doing something. Yeah,
it's cool.
It's a good idea.
Michael.
Thank
Reavers,
you, sir. You're the best.
Please do us a favor, rate and review the show wherever you happen to be listening to the Weekly Scramble. We would truly, truly appreciate it. His name is Mike Fratelloni. My name is Chris Reavers. We'll talk to you again next week. Until then, cheers. Hey, GLers, the Garage Logic 1000th podcast auction. Yes, that's a mouthful, but let me say it again. The Garage Logic 1000th podcast auction is going to start December 9th at 12 a.m. and run through December 15th at 8 p.m. 70% off items of the retail value. All you got to do, go to garagelogic.com, enter the keyword auction. Here's a list of some of the items that we're going to have in the Garage Logic 1000th podcast auction: a gas furnace from Air Mechanical, a stealth trailer from Pleasureland RV, a water heater from Air Mechanical, 5-night all-inclusive golf vacation to the Dominican Republic from Escape With Us Vacation, the ultimate yard maintenance package from Tri-State Bobcat, sporting clays and dinner for four from Minnesota Horse and Hunt Club, and a $4,000 gift certificate from RF Moeller. How about Fratelloni's gift cards certificates? That's right, $100, $250, $500, $1,000 gift certificate towards a new garage door from my friends at Rise and Shine Garage Door. Again, it doesn't start until December 9th at 12 a.m., but it only runs through December 15th. So you've got a couple of days, but it starts on December 9th. It's the Garage Logic 1000th podcast auction. You can find out more at garagelogic.com. Enter the keyword auction.